Imagine you are the leader of the free world and a genocide is brewing.
Right.
But here's the kicker. 83% of your own voters want you to keep the doors locked tight.
Yeah, they absolutely do not want more refugees.
Exactly. And that was the impossible math Franklin D. Roosevelt was doing every single day.
Right.
So in our exploration into the source material today, we are unpacking this super complex relationship between FDR and the Jews during the Nazi era.
Well, based on the work of historians Richard Brideman and Alan J. Lichtman, it really forces us to look at FDR not just as a hero, but as a triage physician.
A triage physician, so deciding who is expendable.
Yeah, exactly. Across the four phases of his presidency, he had to decide who was expendable to save the patient. And in his mind, the patient was the American economy.
Wow. Okay, so in those first few years, like from 1933 to 1936, the patient is his New Deal.
Right, the New Deal was everything to him.
But I have to ask, I mean, if he was the most powerful man in the country, why couldn't he just order his people to let the refugees in?
Because it wasn't just red tape. It was a legal wall. There was this public charge clause in the immigration law.
A public charge clause, what does that mean exactly?
So it meant if a government official thought you might ever need financial help, they can just reject your visa.
Oh, wow. Just like that.
Yep. And you have this huge bureaucratic war going on. The idealistic Labor Department under Francis Perkins was fighting the State Department, which was led by restrictionists like William Phillips.
And Phillips just used this clause like a scalpel, right?
Exactly. They deliberately told consuls to be arbitrary and exacting with the paperwork. The whole goal was to ensure the German quota stayed mostly empty.
And FDR just let him do it. It feels like a doctor in a disaster zone, intentionally turning off his, I don't know, his empathy faucet just to keep the machine running.
That is a great analogy. He viewed the New Deal as this fragile glass sculpture. He felt that one controversial move on immigration could shatter the coalition he needed.
Because an anti-Semitic backlash would tank his domestic agenda.
Right. He didn't even meet with Jewish leaders until he felt safe after the 36th election. But then the triage shifted in 1938 when the Nazis marched into Austria, the Anschluss.
Oh, right. So suddenly being a bystander wasn't just a moral issue anymore.
Exactly. It became a full-blown diplomatic crisis.
And that is when we get the Evian Conference. But look, Evian spelled backward is naive.
Yeah, that is a classic critique.
Was it just naive optics, or was he actually trying to force the world to share the burden?
It was actually more complex than just a PR stunt. Behind the scenes, FDR was privately obsessed with a geography of resettlement.
Wait, geography of resettlement? What was he doing?
He was literally hand-drawing maps of places like Madagascar, Ethiopia, and parts of Latin America.
Hand-drawing maps? That is wild.
Yeah. His logic was basically, well, if I can't let them into the U.S. because of my voters, I will find a way to dump the burden across the globe.
I mean, it sounds cynical and frankly pre-colonialist.
It was, but it was his attempt to find a third way that didn't involve a fight with Congress.
But the world basically said no at Evian. And then November 1938 happens, Kristallnacht.
The night of broken glass.
Right. The Nazis are openly destroying Jewish life. Now, FDR is the only world leader to recall his ambassador. But he still has that 83% of the public shouting no to refugees.
Yep, his hands were completely tied by public opinion.
So if he couldn't change the law, how did he actually get anyone in?
He went completely Machiavellian. He knew touching the quotas was political suicide, so he found a loophole with visitor visas.
A loophole? How did that work?
Well, there were about 15,000 refugees already in the U.S. on temporary visas.
Okay.
FDR basically told them, stay as long as you want. I am not renewing your visa, but I am not deporting you either.
Oh, wow. So just indefinitely extending them.
Exactly. It was a temporary fix that bypassed Congress entirely.
So he's making these clever moves, but then we hit this third Roosevelt phase where the Jewish question just vanishes from his priority list. Why?
Two words. The airplane gap.
The airplane gap.
Yeah. By 1939, FDR realized Germany was outbuilding the Allies and warplanes at a terrifying rate. Internal security became the only priority.
So national security just takes over.
Completely. He worried that if he focused too much on helping refugees, isolationists would claim he was dragging America into a, quote, Jewish war.
Right. So in his triage logic, the survival of the militaries took precedence over everything else. Action expresses priorities.
It really does. He did more for the Jews than any other world leader, but his efforts were still tragically deficient against the scale of the Holocaust.
It leaves you with this haunting thought. I mean, consider this. If FDR had successfully implemented his geography of resettlement in 1938, Would the map of the modern world look entirely different today?
That is a massive what if.
Right. Like, would a Jewish state in Palestine still have been seen as an absolute necessity if a totally new hub had been built in Africa or South America? It is definitely something to mull over.